All right. So, everybody, just so you know, this is the box. Okay? That's the box. Yes. Sometimes what it says on the outside is what's on the inside, just like people. Sometimes it's not. Okay?
So,
right. Is Schrodinger's cat in there? I don't know. And is he alive? All right. No, you can psychically figure out how many items are in there too. Okay, that's another thing. You can get the number, you can get, you know, whatever, but now you know the size of the box, so you know. If you're saying
stuff in a black box.
Hmm?
I was putting stuff in a black box.
Well, it's dark in there. Okay. All right. How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
What was that?
Everybody okay? All right. One of the things that you have to learning how to follow your guidance is very difficult. Because guidance doesn't come in the way you want it. Okay? And last night at the end of the night, when we weren't doing any type of check-in, some angel went and whacked Linda on the side of the head and pulled her cord, and she had to process what went on there. And I was like, and inside I'm like, well, we're getting ready to go home, we're not going to be doing, but it was so appropriate for what we are doing. It was like she couldn't not say it, okay? She couldn't just sort of like process it, think about it at night, which was the thing, and then come up this morning and do it. She just had to say it. Well, so the reality is that that's my calling. It's like I can look at that and say, okay, here's a student who wants to process when it's really not process time, and let's just get it over with and do this. Or I can say that's a message. That's an essential message. Okay, guidance comes in the ways you don't expect. You would want it to come through the balls. Oh, I had this incredible realization. No, it came through Linda saying everything sucked except for one thing. But that one thing, it was a soul ball, and it was unbelievable. Okay? And so the reality is that even though you have all of the struggle and strife that goes on, it doesn't touch your soul. But as I thought about that, the other message is, we're all, when you read Deepak Chopra's book, it's called A Handbook to Becoming a Saint, right, or something like that, A Guide to Sainthood. Okay, I want you to, all of you have felt...
Essence of the Soul's Journey into the Mystery of Mysteries.
Oh, okay. Mine... That's
not
the that's
the
abbreviated version. The real version's like 200 pages. 300 pages. Yeah. Anyway, so what I want you to get is that everybody, when she said that and she said, "Oh, but I felt the soul and it was this big expanding feeling." Okay? Nobody here said, "Well, I've never felt that." You all have felt that before, right? You've all felt what it feels like to have an essence. Mm-hmm. To be expanded, to be more, to be everything in the room, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the only difference between you and a saint is that the saint focuses on that. Period. The rest of the stuff is just the details of life. Occasionally you have to eat. Occasionally have to, you know, talk to people. Occasionally have to, you know, make some money or do something. But the only difference between where we are right now and a saint is that you had, that's what the saint lives in. And it allows you to realize what's important. The belief system that all this other stuff has to happen before I ever get to have that type of level of, you know, that was great, but what about all this other crap? That's just the flip you have to make. to go from one, the first level of totally just struggling and striving and surviving, to a seven, which is literally being unified, which you felt. You had that feeling. And because your brain qualifies these bowls as something cute that we do in class, it can take these incredibly sacred events and just say,
That was nice.
That was kind of cool. Yeah. What's happening now? What's the next thing? Where's the next part of this that's going to happen? So thank you, Linda, for doing that. Thank you for, you know, speaking out. But
I guess I was checking out a little bit when you said process it later.
It's totally fine. But I want you to see that this is how life works. You know, that wasn't scheduled. It's the thing that's not scheduled that's the only thing that counts. As I was driving home, as I woke up this morning, I was thinking, you know, to reject what you did as just sort of like, well, Linda, you know, can kind of forget where we are, you know, if thinker can go off on tangents. No, that thinker quality in you was able to connect to a direct guidance that everybody had to have in here. How many of you have had the total experience of your soul in the class so far in 2 years? How many times have you had it just through the bowls or through a healing? Mm-hmm. You come off the table and you can't tell the difference between you and the table or you and anybody else in the room. You have that experience all the time. So why aren't you enlightened master? Because you qualify that as being cute, nice. I wish it would happen more often. When am I going to, you know, I just need another healing to get that. But that healing didn't give it to you. It revealed you. That's what you are all the time. So just really understand, when I play a bowl, all it does is shut down your sixth chakra. Your thinking. Thinking is not consciousness. It is the antithesis of consciousness. It blocks consciousness. When a bowl plays, the bowl awakens your field, which is God. And when you feel it fully, including the how I'm blocking that quality within me, the resistance. But when you really feel that incredible sensation, that's you. That's you at the deepest level. And you don't need, I mean, literally that, you know, that the Zen, you know, the old mystery schools, you get one of those. One of those. And they'd be like, okay, goodbye, 10 years, go meditate on that. So I want you just to let that in. I want you to let in how many times you've already had absolute enlightenment. And because it was a cute little technique we used here in the school or a healing or something, you just stepped right back into your attachment brain life, sixth chakra life. And the seventh chakra closed back down. Because when you felt that feeling, the seventh chakra was wide open to all the spiritual levels. Okay? So everybody with me on this? I know we're in sixth and seventh chakra. This is where we pull this all together. And the things that I do in the program, you're not going to figure out until about 4 or 5 years from now. Okay? Those feelings you had right then, you're not going to get that feeling for 4 or 5 years. Okay? It's really, it's like, you'll at some point, it'll be just like, oh, that's what that meant. But in the way you process information right now, it's an annoyance that I could feel that good and the other ones were that bad. So it's easier to focus on what I don't have rather than what I do have. Just like we talked about in relationship last time. Do you ask for what you don't want or do you ask for what you do want? Okay? And that's the shift, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And you're trying to make that shift. Well, that's what you want to start asking for.
I had the experience about almost 20 years ago when I was in the Southwest doing past life regressions. After regression, I felt this incredible experience of just feeling full of light and like kind of like, you know, it must have been the soul thing, you know? Mm-hmm. It was really intense. And then I get to the car, my friend's waiting for me. She's mad and angry and blaming me for missing her appointment. She missed her session, and So she wanted to find out all about my past life regression, and you're not supposed to share it. She kept pestering me, and finally, like, I said, okay, I'll tell you a little bit. The minute I did that, it felt like a bathtub being unplugged, and all it just all drained out of me, the power of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like giving up my power in a way. But
yeah. Well, that's why saints relate with so few people. Anybody from the fifth level up probably have like 2 friends, 3 friends. You know? I mean, not that they don't influence a lot of people, don't stand out, but they really, by that point, you're not in relationship. But really, from the fourth level up, you don't really need relationship anymore. From the fourth chakra up, you're not going to be in relationship with people.
Yeah.
You are working at a level that doesn't need relationship. You need relationship in the lower two levels. It's how you work through your stuff. By the time you hit the third level, third chakra, you're done working out your stuff. You don't need people. You just they're fun to be with. In the third level, there's all you accept the lower self that still likes to have sex, likes to have relationship, likes to bounce off people, likes to make businesses, likes to do stuff, but also is totally fine being in a cave by themselves. By the fourth level, you're leaning way into just owning, just feeling the Christ light. You and the Christ light are becoming one. It's that intuitive forgiveness. He talks about forgiveness at that level. It's just like everything's fine with you. There's no need to be in relationship anymore. Yes?
Question. Is that why like monks and priests are celibate? Is that like part of one of the reasons for that?
You don't want to know my ideas on that. Yeah. No, the answer is yes. Real holy men and women are going to have very little interest in relationship. Because it no longer is what it can't give them anything more than spirit does. They're in relationship from the fourth level up. You are in relationship with spirit in such a way that literally it's not that you can't be married or be in a relationship, you know, but it's not, it's what you're married to at that point is it's going further and further. At the first level, all you are is your lower self. Okay, you live in the lower self, you live in defense. At the second level, you realize that maybe there's something to strive for, but I'm still pretty much ego-based trying to make my ego better and make myself look better. And that's where a lot of people get into the church and it's like, well, I'll be celibate, I'll be doing this. But then they're having sex with everything that walks behind the scenes, in the shadow. Okay, that's the second level. It's like, I'll be pious and I'll be up, I'll be at this high level, but I'm not. So they can't not have sex, they just have to hide it. Whereas someone who's truly pious, truly at that level, is capable of, you know, is not even interested, it doesn't even cross their mind, because they're literally having union with the divine. I mean, isn't that why we have sex? I mean, isn't that moment of you know, unity, where you find, it's like when you find your lover, your true lover, the person that you just surrender all to, it's like being connected with the divine. But it's all we can do at the second level. So it's what we do. We can't find the divine in other ways, so we have to take it the way we can at that level. Yeah?
So the message I got from How to Know God, though, is to not negate your humanness.
Right.
So not to egoically go out into the spiritual world and then negate the fact that you're human. So wouldn't that mean that you would interact with people and have the human experience, because that is your spiritual?
You will, depending upon what level you're at, you're going to interact, as you move up the scale, you're going to interact with people less and less in a needy, enmeshed type of way. You will be more and more in relationship with the divine. Now, that doesn't mean that someone like Einstein, who is probably a fifth level person, okay, or Michelangelo, you know, or Isaac Newton, you know, or Mother Teresa, who are probably all fourth or fifth level people, weren't going to impact millions of people. But how many people did they let into their inner sanctum? How many people could even understand them? You know, 3, 4, maybe nobody. Maybe nobody they know could understand them at any level that would support them more than their inner work at that point. The divine is the only one that can then guide them. So they're not in relationship for guidance anymore. Where the rest of us are. We need to just find out who we are by looking in other people's eyes. Yes?
So, I know we have so many great books, first of all, next year and everything, but for whatever reason, it's certainly a lot of books on the lives of saints.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend that.
Yep.
There's a whole rich, reservoir.
Saying, reading books on the lives of saints. That's basically what Carolyn Mace did.
Yeah.
To do her, and that's why she did
Entering the Castle,
and her original work that she did, her original PhD work, was on spirituality and schizophrenia.
Spiritual madness.
She called it spiritual madness, but I think it was a study in whether schizophrenia and spiritual awakening were actually the same thing.
Which is related to Kundalini awakening,
right? Right. And I mean, we've all been studying this stuff, and to look at someone who is at that level, if a person were in this room at that level, there would be a sense of real peace within them, but you'd have a very difficult time connecting with them, communicating with them, because the words you have are words that create form, and their words create non-form. And so it's like a very different world that you would be living with. It's not that we can't do that. And the key with that book, and then really, I guess we're doing the Deepak Chopra talk now.
Yeah.
The key with that book is that when you accept where you do live and really do that, I live at the second level. Okay? When I embrace the fact that even though I get guidance, some of the guidance I get, the temple of light, some of the things I've created, the way I come up with these, creative things, I bring things down from the fifth level, but I know where they're going to work. I know how they're going to be. I'm not that. I mean, if the temple of light, if I was going to be a fifth or sixth level person, I would just have a church and I would just create the temple of light 7 days a week and just invite people to come in and sit in that energy, because it's a freaking great thing. But that's not Rhys. I would go crazy. I'm not that advanced. I can't be in my own company like that. I have to annoy you with it. Right? So this is my purpose, my hara line is to help people just awaken that it's possible. Right, I do. And so that willingness to know where I live and where I'm going to do this from and where I've always done it from, I look back at my life and I've always been someone who's been pushing people to know their essence. From when I was 14 or 15 years old as a tennis pro, I was always like, yeah, these are the strokes, but this part of you has got to get out here on the court. I don't see you out here. You're not here. I need you here if you're going to hit that ball. I can teach you the perfect stroke, but if you aren't here, how the hell is the ball going to get hit? And I've been doing that since I was 14. And I've done it in everything I've done. Everything I've done for 50 years. This is who I am. I can't not be this. Now, when I accept that about myself, that I'm not going to be sitting in some room, with the angels and guides and manifesting and, transforming. Now, when that information comes from those levels, I know where to put it. I know why I'm getting it. If you are hoping you're getting somewhere where you aren't going to get to, the information you get, none of your life ever makes sense. If you know that you live at the first level and that you're going to be battling in life and fighting for causes and doing that, know it. Live it. Do not fear it. And know that you're going to get incredible psychic information and guidance, but it's going to have to work at the first level. There are incredible religion. Basically, our religions right now are first chakra organizations, right? And there are people in that organization that are getting the direct guidance from God. They open their seventh chakra and it's like they get the words. But they get words that speak to the masses and wake up the masses, not in a fear, the Bible says this and you're going to die and we're all going to die on the 21st of May and all that kind of insanity, which is all just ego, which of course that person is actually a first chakra person, but they think they're a sixth chakra person. And that is called spiritual mask. It's called danger. Danger, Will Robinson. This person is pretending they're somebody that they are not. So when you know where you live, then your guidance makes sense. If you don't know where you live or you think that's not good enough, your life will never make sense to you. You will always be striving for something you can never attain. Go ahead.
There's such truth. It's just what you're saying rings so true for me. And I think about the fact that sometimes when something almost magical happens, like you feel like you're in your essence, there's that tendency within myself, I can't speak for others, to try to recreate the circumstances that recreated that.
Right.
You know, and so if you do that, then you can kind of foster this happening again, which you immediately are out of the flow and out of the minute and out of the moment. And I mean, Eckhart Tolle talks about it. Deepak Chopra talks about it. It's you know, that essence is there and that connection is there, and you never know when it's going to come through.
Right.
Or how it's going to come through.
And, right.
But when you try to control it, like I used to stay for the weekends because I was more immersed in the weekend, and my goal was like, I want to be more immersed. I want this more in my life. And yet without realizing it, I've been isolating my spirituality.
Right.
You know, and it's and I just had to speak the words, I want this more a part of my life. And then it's coming like a freight train, therefore the schizophrenic. But seriously, it's you can't create the circumstance like, oh, I'll do this spiritual discipline. I'll do this. I'll do that. It's almost this magical childlike thinking and yearning. And it's more like the trusting moment to moment.
Yeah.
And just accepting that it's good.
And when you and when I accepted, which was a struggle for me, and that I'm basically just a striver. I'm not going to arrive. I'm a striver. Second level people are strivers. First level people are strugglers. You are going to struggle if you're a first level person. You are a battler. Okay, you know, I said it in the little handout that I sent out there. You know, charismatic leaders are kings. At the first level.
Absolutely.
Okay? Kings, queens, monarchs, they know if they can accept that they are here to lead the little people, the people that are unconscious, lead the unconscious to a level of safety and security and knowing that maybe they can then make different choices for themselves and move up to the second level, you've done an enormous job. There are, you know, out of 6.6 billion people on the planet, way over 6 billion of them are at the first level. Way, way, way over that. Okay? We're talking a tiny fraction have moved up to the second level now of the achievers. Now, they're, of course, the ones that are, you know, using up all the resources on the planet very fast. You know, they're the ones who are like, hey, maybe we can get this, maybe we can get that, maybe we can get all this as well. But they're striving. But they're striving for more. Okay? Not just survival anymore. They're striving for more. Okay? But each one at each level, you need to know where you are. How does that work? How do I then share this place? And when you get to that place, those things that I started feeling when I played the bowls and doing meditation and doing healing work, I started noticing that when I stand up here and teach, when I share with somebody, when I encourage someone and I poke someone to say, you can go further. You can find that place in you. I also experience that connective element. I experience that soul place within me. And it had to come through other devices. But it's when your life becomes that feeling, when, as Eckhart Tolle says, you have to both feel your outward purpose and your inward purpose. Well, at the first level, you only feel your outward purpose. At the second level, you have an inkling that there is an inner purpose and you're reaching for it. So there might be some inner peace in my life while I'm striving to get everything I need to get before I die. At the third level, you stop striving and, you know, and you are completely at peace with everything that's going on, including my drive and including my non-drive. At the four, and so now there's the duality has come into balance. At the next level, the duality starts dissolving, and you start living much more. At the fourth level, all you're living for is the realization that we are all one. We literally, I have intuition because I am one with you. I'm one with all of information. Okay, and at the fifth level, you've now started changing the laws of matter. You are bringing into the world, you're creating the Sistine Chapel, you're creating electricity, you are doing things, you're bringing stuff that's never even been seen on the planet and manifesting it through consciousness beyond work of the lower two chakras. We work and get what we want. If you don't work to it, you won't achieve it. That's a belief system that keeps you stuck.
Absolutely.
That fifth level person doesn't even believe in working. They work all 24 hours a day to create what they create, but it's never worked for them. It's just God's flowing through them, and they're just manifesting. It just happens. Einstein wasn't trying to figure out the theory of relativity. It happened to him. And then all the way up, and so you're getting further and further and further from the ego and that need. And as you get up to the upper ones, it's all the higher self. The higher self is, the inner purpose. What Eckhart Tolle calls the inner purpose becomes all of you, and eventually the inner purpose, which is what Linda felt last night, is what the inner purpose feels like. It's a star of energy. That's it. You're done. You're cooked. When that's what you feel, you don't even leave your room. Saints didn't need to eat. They didn't need to, you know, they didn't drink. They were just, the energy that comes out of the core sustains you fully. Nothing else needed. No batteries needed. So this is the journey that we are all on. The reality is that we're probably 5,000 years away from people attaining anything close to this, evolutionary-wise. But unless we are aware that this is where we're heading, but this is where we are, we can't help. Reading that book and saying, well, of course, I'll be a saint by the end of this lifetime. I'm bringing my body with me. Oh, totally, I'm doing what Christ did. You are a crackpot. It's not that it can't happen. It's that knowing where you are is enlightenment. Okay? Yes?
Well, the thing that I'm thinking right now is the autobiography of the saints really show how they struggle with the demons of the first and second and how they transform into spiritual beings that they ultimately are.
Right.
So, you know,
Everybody's born in the first level. Everybody's born under like Dom Miguel Ruiz says.
What I hear you saying is just, you know, realize that we're never going to go there years from then, you know.
And everybody here has to figure out where you are. If you're a sixth level person, okay, or let's say you're a fourth level person. Amy, come up here for a sec. This is show and tell. Okay. Amy has the capacity and has energetically carries the fourth level. Okay? It's one of the reasons why healing with Amy is so out of this world. And she's not seeing anything psychic, she's not giving any ideas, she's not going, oh, maybe you ought to do this, maybe she just, because she doesn't have to. At the fourth level, she hasn't had to forgive people because she hasn't blamed them for her life situation, even though Amy has not had an easy life. The difference between the saints and the rest of us is that we have a really difficult time forgiving. Thank you, darling. And you can feel the difference between someone who doesn't know how to forgive and someone who does. And there are souls that are ready, that come in, and I think one of the quotes from one of the quotes is, I just never thought that what happened in my life wasn't supposed to happen. It just never dawned on a person that's conscious, that has that level of consciousness, that even though they had to survive horrible childhoods, horrific situations, horrific, you know, churches and people that abuse them and all of these things, you know, sexual abuse, physical abuse, they had to survive all of that. That was their test, just like the rest of us. And for some of us, that's our test to show us that, no, the world's going to fucking pay for what happened to me. In some way, I will now define my life on that, whereas a saint who has that capacity just realized that that's just something you move through. Gee, that was You know, it just never dawned on me that that wasn't supposed to happen.
Right, but in the books, they talk about how they didn't start there, and they worked through getting there.
They worked through, absolutely. They worked through it. So, but at some point in your life, at some point in your life, you want to see that we all have some of every bit of guidance coming into us. But what are you here to do with it? What level do you actually work on? So Gandhi was probably a pretty solid third level guy. Nothing to touch anymore, nothing you can take from me. You can take my life, go ahead. Take my family, go ahead. Take my beliefs, take anything. But you can't get me. That's a third level person. Okay? Wherever he was channeling from, you know, not sure. Where did he go with it? He went down to the second level and went out to the world, and he didn't stay in a church. He didn't just write. He didn't just write like St. John of the Cross and just write about it. He went out and walked, did that. So he took it out at that level. He knew which level he had to bring it out on. So he reached that level of, I no longer am able to be controlled, manipulated by anybody else's opinion, and I know what I have to do. The challenge, all of the struggle he had to go through. He was an attorney. He knew somehow he had to deal with the laws. He knew somehow he had to deal with first and second chakra control in the world. He did all the studying in that. He worked on that. But then he became enlightened just because he had this point where, at probably all the way through that, it was like he was doing it but had no reason why. It was some sort of a... It was a rule that he learned, some domestication. And then his realization was, no, I'm not that. Nobody can actually touch this. So it's not a matter of, it's really, you all know already what you're capable of. Okay? The owning it is the key. Your power comes from knowing thyself. Okay, that's it. That's the Oracle of Delphi. Right? Know thyself. Well, right now, you got to know yourself. If you looked at your life and the choices you've made in your life so far, what level are you operating at? And have you really accepted that? Or do you keep hoping that maybe sainthood's on the way for you? Just one more week, one more class, maybe just this one. A couple more sessions with John Weirich. I'm definitely going to be there after that. Lisa has got me, boy, I'm just there, I'm right there. Or are you getting incredible spiritual information right now that operates for the masses in an incredible way that you can awaken many? You know, do you decide? So I want to get on to the bulls here. Does everybody sort of get a feel for... This is the sixth and seventh chakra. This is why the sixth and seventh chakra can be so difficult, because there's no... You ask, if you want your sixth chakra open, you ask God for one thing. No more illusion. I want no more illusion. That's what you ask for. And that means where I am, who I am, how I am, that's it. That's all I got. What am I doing with it? Not what I wish I could be, hope I can be, someday I'll be. Christina, do you understand? There's a difference between knowing what your potential is, and we all ultimately, just by being able to talk about it, we all have the potential to reach this consciousness where we are this, and you've all felt it. But is it where you live? That's what you have to answer for yourself. And if it's where you actually live, and you are one with the Creator, or you are beyond personal needs, as the upper chakras have, then you own it. It's just like, that's what I'm doing, that's what I do. I just manifest out of thin air. If I don't, if I'm down here, let's not pretend. Let's know where my guidance is going. I get guidance, and it's to push all my students to do better. That's it. It's where it's at. Simple. Gives me inner peace and gives me a purpose. Okay, so let's lay back. We are going to do the five spiritual bowls. We're going to release your attachments and your vows within the five spiritual bowls.